And then, so in the morning, as usually, he composed on that opera.
I see.
And I think the happiness of this fulfillment and the young marriage and this went into it. And somehow, because people like this are always prophetic, there's a sense of farewell over the whole piece. Mm-hmm. And it was partly his farewell to his youth, and partly I think he felt farewell from Austria.
I see.
And we were really seriously already debating going out from Austria.
Oh.
And I was just waiting to fulfill this term that I needed, these 7 years, mm-hmm. of which I had already now a great deal, because it had taken 5 years of our courtship or whatever.
That's
you would
amazing.
Call it, until we married. And then we debated, and Hilde Spiel, our good friend, mm-hmm. had already gone to England and had married there.
I see.
A writer who lived in England, Peter mm-hmm. Mendelssohn. And she came back to Vienna and visited us, and very strongly persuaded Eric to leave Vienna behind and come to London and try his luck there. She said, "You have no, absolutely no chances here, and try it."
Mm-hmm. You know?
And so we wanted to do that. Of course, our finances were very shaky, and it was a great undertaking, but we were almost convinced to do it.
I see.
And so this explains maybe also the sense of farewell that is in this music, because Eric was the, you know, Vienna figure, you know, who was so strongly attached to his environment. And they call it the Viennese sickness.
Yes.
You know, Gröbazer had it, and you know, Haydn, who was suffering under this Esterhazy and was treated like a servant,
right.
and was given the most, the greatest office by England and so on to come there and would have been a prince there, refused and stayed in his humble position because they couldn't leave Austria.
Mm-hmm.
Austria has very great hold on its denizens.
Yes. Well, of all the potential material at hand, Eric finally settled upon a play by Büchner. And maybe you can talk a little bit about what appealed to him in this play.
The idea was that it should be lighthearted and mm-hmm. Fit for a presentation by the radio.
By the radio, yes.
And of course this in some way hindered many of Eric's creative impulses.
Oh, surely.
Because,
he would have liked,
you know, it could not be too stark and so on. But he managed to bring us a few of these things in because he couldn't do otherwise.
Right.
And the textbook at that time, the libretto, was written by Hugo von Königsgarten, and they took the basic storyline of, he took the basic storyline of Büchner and certain basic text words of him.
Yes.
And then wherever music should fit in, it was his idea that the whole thing should be like a Singspiel.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then a fully composed opera with the spoken word.
With the spoken dialogue as well. Right.
As well. And wherever there was music interludes, he would take lyrics from the time by Eichendorff or Knabenwunderhorn and so on, which is about the same time as Büchner.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I mean, the Knabenwunderhorn is a publication about
it's
that
old,
time.
It's a publication
the,
of the
yeah,
early
the,
19th
the
century.
The poems are probably much older
right.
in Knabenwunderhorn, but the publication was around this time. And the textbook, as it came out, was not completely to Eric's liking.
I see.
Liking. It was not enough dramatic. You know,
mm-hmm.
He loved really drama, and that isn't in there. As a matter of fact, Léonce and Léna, as charming as it is, and as great a genius as Büchner is, was never successful on the stage either.
Oh.
While Wozzeck can be played also without the music.
Oh,
it's an anomalously successful play. And I think the circumstances of Büchner's doing Leonce and Lena was similar to that of Eric. He was thinking of marrying, he was engaged.
Oh. And